Okay, very good. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's edition of Energy Medicine Unlimited. Tonight's a special night. We have with us Dr. Ron Rothenberg, MD, who is a world-renowned and much sought-after speaker in the field of preventive and regenerative medicine. He is the lead physician at the California Healthspan Institute on the Scripps campus in San Diego, California. Also, we have, I don't know, Kathleen, if you're the right-hand woman or what we would say, but Kathleen Becker is a master's degree level nurse and co-author of Forever Ageless, Eat Right, Your Life Depends on It, and also Forever Ageless, the Advanced Edition. These books, of course, coming out of the California Healthspan Institute as well. Are you the right-hand woman?
Oh, she's more than right-hand. I mean, she's a formidable right and left hand on her own.
Right hand, left hand, you name it. So very excited and very honored to have you both on our teleclass this evening. There's lots to talk about, and what we're going to try to do is keep this teleclass to 1 hour in length. We may chat for a while, and then we may open it up for some questions with regard to the students who are on the call with us tonight. So first of all, let's talk about your specialty. You guys are, you've been involved in the anti-aging and regenerative medicine realm for several decades now. Is that right?
Well, about 12 years. That's why we're certainly pioneers in the field. And again, the terminology, some people don't like the word anti-aging, even though it describes exactly what we do, kind of fight against the degeneration with time. So some people like preventive and regenerative medicine better as a title, but it's the same thing. It's the idea of keeping people happy and healthy as time goes on.
Right. Now, people don't like this word anti-aging because it sounds like, well, that sounds like aging is you know, it's just wrong to be aging. And people say, well, you know, I want to age, but I want to age well.
But, I mean, what should we call it? Pro-death?
Exactly. That's a very good point.
And, so this, I mean, the anti sounds negative, but in medicine there's antibiotics and et cetera, et cetera. But as long as the concept is there to change the process that where we degenerate with time and, again, just maintain health. That's the idea.
Okay. So is it really reasonable? I noticed in the preface to your book, Forever Ageless, that you said it really is reasonable for people to expect to live longer and better. And that's a shocking statement. That's an eye catcher. What are your comments about that? Is it really reasonable?
Well, it's reasonable. We see it every day. We see anti-aging every single day in terms of maintaining function, but people improving through their 50s and their 60s, improving in quality of life is what everybody wants, of course. That's the, you know, the quality. And in terms of cognitive function, sports, athletic function, sexual function, so quality is what people want, but if you kind of ameliorate the process of aging and there's less atherosclerosis and less cancer and less dementia, you're going to end up with more quantity as well. And really, we see this every day. We see all the biomarkers of aging improve in the lab tests that we do, from lipid profile to inflammation markers to hormones in the youthful range. So it's a reality. Again, we see it in our patients and try to live it ourselves.
Wow, that's, you know, I've got patients, I've been in practice now 25 years, and I have so many patients, Kathleen and Dr. Rothenberg, who they don't want to get old. They're going, well, you know, I've seen my parents or I've seen my grandparents age, and what I see there is something, I don't want to go there. They say, you know, I'll take it till 70, 72, and then I'd love to just check out. And I'm saying, that's really sad, because it used to be people kind of look forward to aging more.
Right. Well, you know, it's cool to rack up the years, but what people don't want is disability. That's
right.
No fun. So, but if you can still be enjoying life and really improving, then it's a badge of honor to rack up the years as long as you have the quality.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
We had, you know, we have over 500 patients worldwide, and we treat thousands of patients annually, but the other day I had someone call, and they thought I was 12 years old, and I told them I'm 61. And so, and Dr. Rothenberg is just a few years ahead of me, and we're not ashamed to say our age because he surfs every day. He lectures all around the world. We do practice what we preach by taking bioidentical hormones, eating right almost all of the time. We tell our patients at least 85% of the time because once in a while you have to have a bowl of ice cream or something. But we do practice what we preach in terms of bioidentical hormones, in terms of diet, in terms of exercise. And, you know, we'll be talking a little bit later about some of the other applications that we're now adding into the practice. But it's very exciting, and we do see fantastic results. And there are no guarantees for anything, but if you can have a good quality of life, thinking better, having better physical function, better sexual function, just more vitality. I mean, we all want to stay vital for as long as we're here, and we feel very honored in our careers that we've all come together. This is very exciting and very rewarding practice to help people maintain health and well-being.
Mm. I was lecturing this past weekend in Victoria, British Columbia. We had a major health conference there, and I had the privilege of meeting someone who's been, at least through literature, a mentor for me. When I lecture, I talk about a study that was published in the Journal of Cell Biology in 2002, and it had to do with the effect of pulsating electromagnetic fields on the expression of heat shock protein 70. And the authors there were Reba Goodman and also her colleague, Martin Blank. And these guys are both PhDs in the pathology department at Columbia University, which
my alma
mater. Rothenberg, yeah, your alma mater. And so unbeknownst to me, that in the attendance was Dr. Blank himself, Martin Blank. And I was thrilled that he would come to a presentation that I made, and afterwards we were able to have some tea together, both he and his wife. And they're now, I think, in their mid to late 70s, possibly in their 80s, and it was so refreshing to be able to sit down with these people. Both of them had all of their faculties and were actually thinking devious and mischievous thoughts and creative thoughts about where they were going next with their research and with their thinking processes. Dr. Blank's wife has published 10 books. She's a reading specialist. And I was thinking, how wonderful in your late 70s to early to mid 80s to have fully engaged faculties. And the only thing that was lacking there was a bit of the physical side, which, of course, if they had that, then they got the full package.
Sure, you want it all. Hey, how are their heat shock proteins?
You know, I wasn't tested.
They were good. You know,
go ahead.
There's no reason why you can't have both the physical and the mental. That's why, you know, as Kathleen mentioned, you know, the building blocks of the nutrition and exercise and nutraceuticals, and you know, one of our next layers is bioidentical hormones. Keeping the youthful ranges, the 20-something, 20 to 30-year-old ranges, to maintain body composition or even keep improving.
Okay, so let's engage in a little bit of myth-busting right now. Some people think that bioidentical hormones are good. Some people think they're bad. What's the consensus? Again, I know that you think they're good, and I think they're good as well.
That's what we're made of. I mean, bioidentical hormones are what in our bodies are surging through them when we're in our 20s and 30s. So what's bad about the state of health you have in your 20s? But I guess it's a little more complicated than that. The issues are, is it safe to replace bioidentical hormones, and does it work? Some people even go so far as say, oh, there's no such thing as bioidentical hormones. But that's a word. Bioidentical hormones mean the hormones that exist in the human body. That very
okay.
simply. And so it excludes artificial hormones, horse hormones that have been tragically given to especially American women, and chemical synthesized hormones that aren't the same. When bioidentical hormones are replaced, let's bust some myths. there is no increase in cancer rates. I'll just say that very definitively. It's been studied by extensively, especially in Europe. Testosterone replacement therapy doesn't increase the risk of prostate cancer. Bioidentical estrogens and progesterone therapy in women does not increase the rate of breast cancer. That is the medical data,
well,
contrary
to
myth.
There's animal studies in cancer that show that if you castrate an animal, the rate of cancer growth actually increases.
Yeah, I mean that kind of practice is really done, believe it or not. Humans.
Yeah, they functionally castrate the prostate. Yeah.
We really know this from huge studies. I mean, again, animal studies are interesting, but what's most important is human studies. We know this from extensive human studies in men and women, in studies from France, the Fournier studies of 80,000 French teachers, all of Morgenthaler's work at Harvard, showing the whole idea of, again, testosterone and cancer is a myth. In fact, some big studies on testosterone recently, the past year, from Circulation, Journal of the American Heart Association, show that the higher the testosterone, the less chance of dying that a man has. Someone who's got the top range compared to the bottom range has twice the chance of living on any given day.
Hmm. Yeah, and wow. I think we need to go back to, Ron and I collectively have a lot of years in the medical field, but you go back to common sense, and what Ron stated just a few minutes ago is when your hormones were at their highest level between, 15 and 30 or something, when you felt
yeah,
the
baby.
Best and you had best body composition, least rate of cancer, least this, least that. We owe it to ourselves, as not only us as clinicians, but individuals owe it to themselves to research and do the work that you need to do to be responsible for your own health. We do everything here scientifically based, and when you start looking in the literature and you start doing research, the truth shall be told. And so exactly what Dr. Rothenberg is saying, when you're replacing hormones and you're replacing natural hormones that were at their highest levels in your, teens and 20s, what's the problem?
And hopefully you've got a little judgment at this point in life to deal with those hormone levels that you might not have had then.
Yeah, absolutely. If I only had the hormones now that I had then, and if I only had the wisdom then that I have now.
You can.
Yeah, absolutely. Just have a little renaissance there. So this paradigm shift in medicine that looks at aging actually as a disease that can be treated, that's the paradigm shift that you guys are championing. Is it catching on among your medical colleagues?
It really is. The trend, and that's the good thing. The trend over the past 12 years, a lot of the things that were considered very exotic that we do in the lab testing, measuring inflammation, measuring homocysteine, 12 years ago, this was way out. Now it's being absorbed into standard medical practice. The concepts that these bioidentical hormones can be used safely, and advanced imaging of the coronary arteries that was common in our practice and, was considered fringy then, now has become mainstream. So there's hope. Things are getting better.
Wow.
Vitamin D, right, this year of vitamin D. What little did we know that you need significant amounts of vitamin D for optimal health? And finally, this is becoming mainstream, and it's being widespread, this information.
Well, now talk about vitamin D for a second. If you give D3 directly, does it not need to be activated by sunlight? Is that correct?
Correct. The D3 that you take by mouth in a capsule is identical to the D that you make in your skin from sunlight. They both go through the same process. The D3 has to be changed by the liver and by the kidneys to active forms, but it's of the identical substance.
Okay, so the sunlight, the need for sunlight goes down. I would still posit that light intensity is a good thing. Getting out there and getting some sunshine is still
it
a good thing.
There may be certainly other benefits, but the sun is overrated. Kind of being facetious.
Well, it sure is from the skin health standpoint.
You really, unless you can't make enough vitamin D unless you're really in the tropics. Our example is to get adequate amounts, you've got to play volleyball in a bikini in Maui at noon and don't take a shower till dinner. Then you can make 25,000 international units.
Right. Otherwise, please take some D3.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that everybody would be finding that bikini image. You know, we're kidding around a little here.
Yeah. Problem I've observed is the people who are wearing the bikinis are exactly the people who shouldn't be wearing them.
Right. But
why
this
is it?
A tremendous, you know, if, say, everybody in this country, in the United States, were to have one capsule of 50,000 units of vitamin D a week at a cost of 2 cents, it would, without exaggeration, cut cancer in half in the United States. Without exaggeration.
All right.
That's a very astounding statement, of course, but the data supports it.
Yeah, I was even thinking with the recent catastrophe in Haiti, I thought, you know, with all the medical units going, I thought, gee, are they taking any vitamin D down there to enhance these people's immune systems during all this trauma and crisis for the people that have survived? You wonder, you know, because it is quite amazing, and we're not overstating it. It's very significant. You know, we always tell people, if you do nothing else, you know, eat right, do your fish oil, do your vitamin D, for heaven's sakes. Maybe hopefully add a little resveratrol and do your bioidenticals, but yeah.
And it's not a vitamin; it's a hormone. That's another myth we'll bust right now.
Well, exactly. It's a hormone for sure. Many things in the body are, and the exciting thing is we're going to be talking about how to. It's involved in an energetic way in the body. Vitamin D is. It's activated by exposure to energy, and again, looking forward to getting into our talk about that particular application, but just also simply by way of introduction, the common patient concerns, you have you treat people from all over the world, and
right.
what are the common things that people are seeking your assistance and help for?
Well, there's a whole spectrum. First, some patients had come in with, and this is the ideal anti-aging patients, and say, hey, I feel great, everything's perfect, what can you do to keep me that way? So that's not waiting for things to break before you start fixing them. And you can be proactive, you can look for trends and see the slightest, they may not need a hormone replacement, but you see the slightest decline, you can put back what's missing. You can evaluate vitamin levels in serum testing to see what's needed. You can look for risk factors. So that's one group. Other group, people certainly have issues. The other extreme are people who are sick, who might even have metastatic cancer, and are, with or without conventional treatment, are looking for integrative treatment along with it. But along the way, common concerns are body composition, getting those love handles, energy levels. People say, you know, I just don't have the same energy I used to have. It's very common. Sexual function, libido is a concern in men and women. Cognitive function, you ask most 40-somethings even, if you say, is your memory the same as 20 years ago? Most people start laughing. Of course not. So these are very common themes. Preventing cardiovascular disease, not just with cholesterol blood testing, which is overstressed and its importance, but preventing atherosclerosis, preventing hypertension, if these things are starting, but using natural methods for the first treatment, and when things fail, then pulling out the, you know, trying to avoid the FDA drugs. But when necessary, we are very practical. We use whatever it takes. So that's kind of the range.
Okay. Excellent. Now, with regard to sexual function, when I first started using energy medicine in my practice several years ago now, and using the MRS 2000, one thing that I noticed is patients coming back and saying, "Hey, doc, what is this thing doing to me? All of a sudden, things are happening that haven't happened in my life for a long time, and it's all good." And they get this big smile. And of course, I'm a chiropractor, and I'm plugging my ears and saying, "La la la, I don't want to know. I don't want to know." But they're talking about enhanced erectile function. They're talking about enhanced responsiveness in the sexual relationship, both males and females. And so there's this effect that the magnetic resonance stimulation has, given what you know about, you know, hormones and about the neuroendocrine function of this whole system of the body. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, we don't plug our ears. We want to hear it. You know, it's all part of the, you know, wonderful spectrum of anatomy and physiology and human existence.
You
so,
betcha.
You know, I tell people, hey, you know, we hear this stuff every day. You can talk about your orgasms or lack of. I mean, this is all, it's all fair game around here.
Right.
So I mean, I'm intrigued by this, certainly. Well, what, let's kind of, and you're the expert, you know, in pulse electromagnetic fields, but let's think about what's the process. There's, with sexual function, there's libido, and then, say in men, there's libido and erectile function. Two related but separate things. Libido is purely what's going on in the brain, and erectile function is kind of a matter of plumbing. You know, you open up one valve and let the blood in, you close the other valve and it stays in there, and the, if it's a hose model, the hose gets hard. Okay. So what could improve this? Well, certainly hormones are a big part of libido. They've got to get in the brain and plug in the receptors. Now, electromagnetic therapy affect the way the existing hormones get into their receptors. That's one possible theory when thinking about it, when I learned this from you before. In terms of blood flow, you can see how pulse electromagnetic fields could improve blood flow by lining up red cells, et cetera, getting better capillary function. So it's certainly intriguing. I don't really know the mechanisms, but again, we're very practical people, and the bottom line, if this works, and especially through a non-drug means, this is a great way to treat patients.
Well,
and overall, you know, ATP production, overall, you know, cellular function, you know, the literature, we're just ramping up into this and are really excited about, you know, another application for our patients. So we have not had as much experience as you, Dr. Carmichael, but, you know, in the last, 4 months, I guess, we've had the application of the MRS-2000 in the office, and there's been quite a bit of enthusiasm. We really haven't had any reports in terms of sexual activity, but it certainly makes sense. But in terms of overall well-being, better sleep, some people in terms of have used it in terms of post-operative recovery, have an MS patient who has severe MS, better mobility, noting better cognition after about 6 weeks use.
Yeah, better blood pressure. Oh, what about Dr. Carmichael, what about nitric oxide production? And,
well, that was
MRS. That, of course, you know, nitric oxide, NO. The joke is no means yes, and that, you know, that's what the Viagra-like drugs do is you know, keep around the nitric oxide more. This is probably part of the mechanism. Do you have any insight into that for us?
Well, there's at least 28 articles in literature that suggest that nitric oxide metabolism is enhanced, and nitric oxide is actually released by the endothelial layer of the cells in the vasculature by exposure to pulsating electromagnetic fields. So when this initially started happening with patients who were using the MRS-2000 in our clinic, I was looking at the literature, and that was the one link that I found to be most compelling was, and I did hear you say no, NO, nitric oxide means yes, and I use that. It's pretty funny. I like that. Thanks very much for
that. And, you know, if you're getting the effect on the endothelium, say, in the penile vasculature, well, you're getting it all over the body, too.
Sure.
And
sure.
So, you know, this is good. And endothelial dysfunction is the beginning, is what drives atherosclerosis all over the body, from the brain to the heart. And so, you know, if you're improving endothelial function one place, you're probably improving total body endothelial function and helping to prevent or reverse atherosclerosis.
That's been an observation we've made with thermography as well. Thermography, of course, measures the body temperature, the surface body temperature, and we'll take someone with immediately prior to an application of the MRS-2000, their body's cold, the circulation is not so good, and then after an 8 to 16 minute session, we'll re-thermogram them and find a huge increase in the vascular response, so that the body temperature raises even on the order of a degree or 2 degrees or more. And we're implicating the nitric oxide metabolism in that response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a pretty exciting stuff. As far as osteoporosis goes, what is the impact of osteoporosis on the aging individual that you see in practice?
Oh, I hate osteoporosis.
So preventable.
Yeah, you know, if it's a bad disease, I mean. For, say, an 80-year-old, a hip fracture has more mortality than a heart attack.
Right.
and there's all the complications about osteoporosis and loss of function. So this is certainly a major goal in our field through lifestyle in terms of, you know, nutrition, adequate calcium, magnesium, boron, in terms of exercise, especially resistance exercise, tugging on the bones, in terms of hormones that signal the bone creation more than bone destruction. So it's a key goal to prevent osteoporosis, because that's part of the frailty syndrome, and we don't want to go there.
Right. So the studies that we have on pulsating magnetic field therapy indicate again, it is the most studied area of physiology when it comes to magnetic fields and their effect on the human body. The MRS-2000 can enhance bone healing, for example, in non-healing fractures, and studies have also shown that it increases total bone density, not only in experimental animals, but also in humans, using one side of one arm, let's say, as the control, and the other arm as the treatment, so to speak. So there's an 8-year follow-up study in literature that's quite compelling with regard to this. Have you thought about using that in or that potential in your patient population?
Well, definitely. In terms of healing of fractures and post-operative and orthopedic surgery, my son, who just had some extensive orthopedic surgery, getting several rods out and plates in his knee that were put in after he was in an accident several years ago, used the MRS-2000 very diligently for about a month. Again, being 18, you heal fast, but it was very dramatic recovery. And I know there's a lot of very well-documented scientific literature on this. So I think for prevention and treatment of osteoporosis is a very powerful tool. Unfortunately, the drugs that are often used, the FDA drugs that are used for osteoporosis, can have potentially dangerous side effects and may not produce really good quality bone. And so we really need other options.
Yeah, and of course, exercise being among them.
Yeah, one day-to-day test we can follow bone metabolism with is called the urine enterolipeptides, or NTX. This is a number, the lower the better, and that shows you what's your balance of bone creation to bone destruction. This is this dynamic process. So this would be a very good way for us to clinically follow the MRS-2000 in patients from day to day to see changes, because it takes years for DEXA scans to change.
The NTX is a urine test, is it?
Yes.
Wonderful. Urine enterolipeptides?
Yeah, enterolipeptides, or sometimes it's called collagen crosslinks, or NTX, all synonyms for the same test.
Wow.
And it's a very inexpensive test.
Well,
non-invasive.
That's incredible. That'd be a great marker, I think, in terms of monitoring early.
Yeah, that would
response.
Be a great study to do.
Right. So I'm putting a star on my notes right there. Star, great study, great way to do this. Okay, so we got to get to that. Also, just along the lines of labs, we have a question from Rob in Toronto asking this question: homocysteine level. One, what is the recommended homocysteine level? So I'll ask you that question. And number two, I can answer. That's any case studies on homocysteine level in the MRS-2000. I'd have to do a literature search. Rob, don't know the answer to that. But Kathleen and Dr. Rothenberg, what is the recommended homocysteine level?
Well, the labs have reference ranges, but they may not be really optimal ranges. So say the reference range is less than 12, but the optimal range is less than 7.
Okay.
But you want to remember, what are you measuring in, nanograms per deciliter? You have to look at it, because some of our Canadian patients, we have to, look at it and then interpret the values. But in terms of what we're using here in the States with our who we use as our provider across the U.S., yeah.
So homocysteine is an inflammatory amino acid, derivation of protein. You got to eat protein, but derivation of protein. And it's correlated with cardiovascular disease and osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
And our the breakdown ways to reverse homocysteine production is adequate B6, B12, and folic acid. Except certain people have a genetic alteration, especially if there's Irish genetics involved, where folic acid is not as effective because that enzymatic step is altered.
Okay. And so you use B12 folic acid and what else?
and B6.
B6.
And sometimes trimethylglycine. That's a methyl donor. You know, methyl is a carbon atom with three hydrogens sticking out of the side. And trimethylglycine is a sugar spine with three methyls stuck on it. They can come off that spine, attach to homocysteine, and convert it to a harmless and useful amino acid, methionine.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Again, it's interesting that it correlates with both osteoporosis and cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And I'm writing as fast as I can, you guys, because this is great information.
Right. So, again, there's something that's very a quantitative thing that, you know, if there hasn't been research on it, would be fascinating to follow.
Mm-hmm. Find out the effects of energy medicine even on homocysteine levels.
Yes.
We use DL-methionine in our clinic to help in our process of oral heavy metal chelation. And everything seems to work better when we combine these nutritional interventions with the MRS-2000. And the reason is because cell membrane potential is increased. Therefore, the cell membrane transport mechanisms, both those that are passive and also those that are energy dependent, are enhanced as well. So it makes sense that any type of nutritional intervention that's done will actually work better if the cells are functioning at a better level.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. It's a type of synergism of different approaches, complementary, where, you know, 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention something, too, that we haven't touched on. You know, we have patients as young as 13, as old as 96, with majority being between 35 and probably 75.
Sure.
But something we're seeing more and more are women who've had two or three pregnancies coming in with significant adrenal fatigue and thyroid decrease. And I think maybe just a touch on, Dr. Carmichael, Dr. Rothenberg, a little bit about thyroid function. I think that is something that's misdiagnosed out there quite a bit. And I can personalize this. I have a daughter that's 33 that had her third child, and we did base hormones on her because she really had a hard time after the third child, and she had no thyroid, no estrogen, no progesterone. And so this is not uncommon, and I think it might be a good thing to talk a little bit about thyroid function and how important thyroid is to overall metabolism, and then also in terms of how that relates to the MRS-2000 use.
Okay, well, so I'll put that back to Dr. Rothenberg then, because on the endocrine level, I'm a novice, and I would say we have an expert in our midst.
Well, the endocrine system takes a hit after pregnancy, multiple hits after multiple pregnancies. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. When we're talking about thyroid, that really sets our metabolic rate and our temperature. And if really our metabolic rate and temperature aren't really set right, then, again, enzymes in the body aren't going to work right, and everything will be thrown off. And so often, thyroid, it's just more than lab tests. It's a clinical picture. You know, so often a patient will show up and say, my doctor says my thyroid is normal. And I say, well, do you have cold hands? Yeah. Do you have your eyebrows falling out on the outside? Yeah. Is there constipation? Yeah. Dry hair? Check. Dry skin? Check. And on the entire list of low thyroid symptoms. And so, again, we can't be stuck looking at the numbers. It's not engineering. Medicine is a clinical specialty. We have to look at the patient and realize people need to have the right thyroid function in both lab tests and also clinical picture. Restoring this really can make a tremendous difference in someone's life, from depression to energy levels to improving cholesterol to improving cognitive function.
What is the relationship between infection and thyroid function? You mentioned a few things. As far as I know, you're the only medical doctor that I've spoken to who, no, I mean, again, this is because maybe I haven't talked about it with enough medical doctors, but, you know, the outside of the eyebrows, losing eyebrow hair from the outside in.
Hertog sign.
What's the name of the sign?
Called the Hertog, H-E-R-T-O-G-H-E. I guess I know that because Thierry Hertog, an endocrinology colleague of mine, his grandfather came up with it. I try not to stare at people sitting on the airplane, but, you know, looking at their eyebrows, there's one, there's one, there's one.
It's an outward sign like a clubbing of the fingers.
Right.
Which
it's
every medical doctor knows.
Yeah.
And then constipation oftentimes is we're looking at infection. Do you see, for example, fungal infections of the bowel in conjunction with people with low thyroid?
Well, we know a lot of the immune system is tied up in the GI tract, and so it's not unusual to have dysbiosis and create a autoimmune picture. Antibodies are produced against the thyroid, and thyroid function is diminished.
Right.
And one of the things we measure are thyroid autoantibodies. But again, we're branching off in another direction, but so much of autoimmune disease and allergic disease is tied to the GI tract, like fungal infections, like bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where I'm starting to read a lot of that and gain some interest in that in a significant way, because in our addressing these types of problems in patients who do have gut dysbiosis, again, putting the right nutrients in place, and then also putting the right cell membrane charge in place helps us get where we need to get in half the time or less. So
okay, well, educate us a little bit about dysbiosis and pulse electromagnetic fields.
Well, the fact is that the human body is an ecosystem, and if you're holistic and you're looking at it that way, there's pH balance that you're looking at. There's elimination of toxins in the body, which doesn't happen. You know, hey, I'm going to detox in July, and so people are saying, well, what are you doing about April, May, and June? What do you do about October, November, and December? I mean, you're exposed to toxins every day. It's like deciding to detox your mouth by brushing your teeth once a year, maybe, you know, for a month, instead of maintaining that. So the toxins that are built up in the gut build up on a daily basis. The heavy metals can change how the gut functions. And in our clinic, we're looking at detoxification as a daily process, just like brushing your teeth would be. And it's the beneficial bacteria that get hammered. In fact, in fungal gut dysbiosis, the fungus actually feeds on progesterone, lowering the progesterone levels that way. And so I've got a concern about, okay, well, let's take people who've got low progesterone and making sure that we're looking for an underlying infection, and then actually resupplying the hormone levels there. And again, that was my interest in asking you that question, is saying, hey, what's going on there?
Well, I think, you know, certainly part of it can be that way, but on the other hand as well, if, say, a woman is past menopause and the ovaries are not producing estrogen and progesterone,
sure.
They're just not, have the organ making it, so they're just not there if she's run out of eggs. But
yep.
That could certainly be a big factor in premenopausal PMS with low progesterone states.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I've got so much to learn and so much to ask you. When we get together, we're having a lecture together.
Learn as well.
Yeah, we're lecturing together on February 2nd there at California Health Span Institute. Is that correct?
Yes.
It's on campus right there.
No, we're going to be off campus in Oceanside,
okay.
And if anybody was interested that's listening in on this call, they could email me at kbecker@ehealthspan.com, and I'd be glad to send them an invitation, but it's very exciting. It's called the Diffusion of Energy Medicine and Preventive Regenerative Medicine, and it's going to be great with you speaking, Dr. Carmichael, Dr. Rothenberg speaking. We have another physician who's going to be speaking, Tom Snyder, who is the president and founder of Florida Health Span Institute. And we have lots of patient and other excitement about this event. So we're extremely pleased.
Well, and again, looking forward. Kathleen, what's that email address again?
Kbecker, B-E-C-K-E-R, at E, like an Edward, ehealthspan.com.
Okay. Is it possible for listeners who are wanting to attend this event, is it possible for them to invite others, or you need to have a good,
absolutely,
accurate head count, though, correct?
But I do need a head count because we are having food, and I don't want anybody to be left out. So we want to make sure we have enough food, enough syllabuses, and that type of thing. We
okay.
already have about 140 people attending. So
that's going to be it's going to be a great day. Also,
yeah.
we're having this event is posted online at mrs2000meetings.com.
Correct.
Right. So very exciting, and that's coming right up, just around the corner. Let's talk about insomnia for a second. Kathleen, you're personally using the MRS-2000 also, correct?
Absolutely. I can tell you I've been using it now for – well, actually, I'll just tell you a little story because I'm very down to earth. I was sent an email by an MRS-2000 rep who knew of Dr. Rothenberg, has gone to the A4M, American Academy of Anti-Aging Preventive Regenerative Medicine, and said, you know, I have something I think you might be interested in. And being scientifically based, we go, sure. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say a name or something. But anyway, this representative was persistent and charming and actually brought a mat to our office. And so we hesitantly tried it, and then I hesitantly took it home. And after 3.5 weeks, I didn't want to give it back. And I have some shoulder stuff. I'm a swimmer, and I had surgery a year ago for a lot of calcium deposit in my left shoulder. And I can tell you, after 3.5 weeks on the MRS-2000, I sleep pretty good, but I slept like a rock. I couldn't stop talking. I was, chattered, felt great. My shoulder felt wonderful, and it's been onward and upward ever since. And so everybody in the office is using it, and, you know, we're introducing it to patients who are using it. We're excited about this new application, and it fits quite well into what we do here at California Health Span Institute.
Your the book Forever Ageless talks about insomnia as being a universal sign of the disease of aging.
Right, so, it does. And then there's other spinoffs, because unless you get to stage 3 and 4 sleep, you know, which is past the REM dream stage, you're not going to produce much growth hormone. And that's growth hormone in adults functions as a repair hormone, you know, for cellular renewal. So that's and one of the problems with not enough sleep, the mind and body aren't getting repaired at night.
Can you comment? You may be able to do this or not, but you know, people are getting injections of growth hormone. What's the cost for a typical injection of a growth hormone?
Cheaper than a Lexus payment.
Okay.
Depends on the model, though. No, I'm just kidding. The growth hormone, it's more than just the injection. First, not every growth hormone is first just specifically for people who are diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency. So
okay.
It's not for bodybuilding or cosmetics or aesthetics. But certain children and certain adults have growth hormone deficiency, and replacing it improves their physiology.
Okay.
And so there's necessary diagnostic testing, clinical picture, and then it is expensive replacement therapy. But in people who have adult growth hormone deficiency, it improves the physiology to a more youthful level.
But all of us would benefit by having an extra hit of growth hormone naturally if we could get to that stage 3 and stage 4 sleep.
Certainly, all of us would benefit if we can improve our growth hormone production naturally. And one of the ways you can do that is exercise past the lactate threshold, you know, getting a burn in various exercise stimulus to growth hormone production, and getting adequate sleep, certainly, getting into that deep stage 3 and 4 sleep.
Wow, and see, that's where I've mentioned this in my book, which is, we described some of the effects of the MRS-2000. We're quite sure that more growth hormone is happening out there because people are getting much deeper, more restful sleep.
Another study, 24-hour urines for growth hormone production before and after. Can't get a random blood test for growth hormone because it comes and goes so quickly. Only has a half-life of 14 minutes.
Okay.
But a 24-hour urine is a reasonable way to look at it. That would be another great study if it hasn't been done.
Okay, so I've got another big star on my notes. And we have
And I mean, we love trying to advance, you know, medical science by thinking about how can we look at these things and what research can we do to find out. You don't always get the answer you want, but we want, you know, it's a search for truth.
And exactly, we do a study like this, and we definitely want to report the findings.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Of course.
Because allegiance to nothing but the truth. So, bottom line is the impact for the aging population, the anti-aging interventions, if we can get people to sleep better, they're going to be responsive to your set of therapies, you know, much better if you can enhance their sleep in a non-side effect, non-drug fashion.
Certainly. Right. Sleeping pills, again, is not real. Ambient coma isn't real sleep.
No. Ambient coma. I like that. We've had people on Lunesta, Sonesta, Sonata, Ambien. I mean, I'd like to be the guy who actually names these drugs. I mean,
how do you get that job?
I want that job. But these are all drug-induced stupor. This doesn't produce that stage 3, stage 4 sleep, does it?
No, unfortunately not. Now, there are some natural things that can help, certainly increasing serotonin with tryptophan or 5-HTP.
Mm-hmm.
Melatonin is, you know, the hormone we make when in darkness, and unfortunately people now rarely are in the darkness at night, but adding melatonin is a safe way to improve natural sleep, which, you know, these things work sometimes and sometimes don't.
Yep, when they work well. When they don't work, it's like, okay, let's be trying something else, or let's include this.
I have to chime in here just to say after using the MRS-2000, I take melatonin. I've always slept well, but I take melatonin and I take 5-HTP just because I know the science behind it, and we do practice what we preach here. You know, so the patients, we're the real deal, and the patients, we do what they do. But after, I still take melatonin, still take 5-HTP, but after using the MRS morning and night, at nighttime, I mean, I have fallen asleep on the mat, you know, and I'm just out. And so the quality of sleep after using the MRS at night before going to bed, the quality of sleep is incredible. I have to say that from personal experience.
Yeah, I
sometimes. But at home, I fell asleep on it with my ridge back. She was kind of pushing me off, you know, 120-pound dog. But the dog seems to love to sleep on it as well.
Yeah, they're attracted to it just naturally. It's an amazing thing, people and their pets. And the stories that we could publish on the MRS with animals and their owners is, you know, pretty nice. So the question that we've got now from my good friend John Stryker in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, is that, is there a partner or similar practice in Ontario, Canada? You guys are doing some exciting things there in San Diego. Do you know any folks up there in Ontario?
Yeah, we actually have physicians. I have one, Dr. Cloutier in Montreal, Dr. Hoffman in Alberta. So I think those are the closest ones. We have patients from the Toronto area, actually, that had come to see us, but you don't have to come see us that often after your initial visit. So
what's the best month to visit San Diego?
Well, just give us a call. You know what? We work days, evenings, weekends,
right.
Whatever. We adjust to whatever the patient needs.
But I think you're saying if you're from Canada, the best months in your winter to come to San Diego.
Yeah, come
yeah.
here and surf.
Yeah.
But you can certainly call us and email me, and we have a staff that will accommodate whatever somebody needs.
Okay. And again, from Teresa in London, Ontario, what bioidentical hormones do you use? Which are available? How do I know which are appropriate for me? How do I know I need them?
Well, okay. I mean, which ones do we use? We use whatever is necessary. If we diagnose a deficiency, we replace what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know if you need it? Through symptoms and through blood tests that measure hormone levels, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly most 20, 30-year-olds don't need any bioidentical hormones. 40-year-olds, maybe somewhere between 40 and 50, our endocrine system starts not paying attention. But everyone's on their own curve. And so the idea is you look at every patient as an individual, you find out about their lives in detail and symptoms in detail, and you do, you know, testing, and you put that all together.
Okay, so there's estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and you're including thyroid hormones there?
Sure, both T3 and T4. There's, you know, we mentioned melatonin.
DHEA.
DHEA, pregnenolone, dihydrotestosterone. There's more than one estrogen. There's E1, E2, and E3 in women. There's cortisol. So these are, I mean, there's insulin, of course, is a major hormone where you don't want too much of it. Usually that goes the wrong way. So we look at all the symphony of all these hormones together because they all interact and have feedback loops, and you've got to get the balance right between them.
Okay. Okay, and so it is, it's a long list. It's a long list. And
we look at them all.
It's a very, very complete, you know, and again, going back to vitamin D, which is really is a hormone, one of the major hormones in the body, we look at that level. We look at everything baseline. So probably the best thing to do, you can look at our website, but it is going to be changing into a very interactive site within the next couple months. So it's a little, I want to say, it's informative, but it's not as active as we'd like it to be, but it can give you the list of the labs that we do take a
mm-hmm.
look at, or just give us a call. We'll be happy to talk with you for however long it takes. We talk to people for 30, 40 minutes, whatever we need to do to answer their questions.
Okay,
but as
well,
clinicians, we have a pretty good educated guess of what hormone deficiencies are by talking with someone or certainly by examining them. But
sure. You see this every day, all day long. I get that. You know, it's the same way here in practice, you know, we oftentimes can really can pinpoint something over the phone. With regard to the thyroid, are you guys fans of synthetic hormones, Synthroid, or are you into the armor thyroid stuff?
Well, yeah, just for people who don't understand, know much about it, yeah. There's basically two thyroid hormones. Synthetic thyroid, or the different commercial brands, are T4. There's four iodine molecules on it. But the active hormone in the human body is T3. T4 does not do anything anywhere in the body. And the trouble is people do not necessarily convert T4 to enough T3. And so people can be taking it, but if they're under stress, if they've got adrenal fatigue, mental stress, physical stress, it may not be going where you want it. So you have to look at them both, and people feel happiest and healthiest to provide a combination of T4 and T3, like that's in Armour Thyroid, or you can have a compounding pharmacist mix up the equivalent as well.
Okay,
so I think it's a much better way to treat thyroid. And in the medical literature, every time it's studied, patients feel better on a combination of T4 and T3 than purely synthetic T4.
All right. And so are you looking at bovine desiccated thyroid or porcine, or what's the guidelines there?
Well, either way, the Armour Thyroid, et cetera, now all of a sudden there's a shortage of it. It's hard to get. I don't know why that is. I will think about conspiracy theory. But that is desiccated porcine pig thyroid. So first, you might say, well, gee, I just said cow estrogen is horse estrogen is so bad. Why is pig thyroid so good? And that happens to be bioidentical to humans. It's the same substance that human thyroid is produced with. So that's an option, but if someone doesn't want an animal pot product or a pig product, again, the equivalent can be made by a compounding pharmacist without the porcine part.
Okay. All right. So just find a good local compounding pharmacy. We've got a question for you guys from Ted in Seattle, Washington, Edmonds, Washington. How much does emotional health play a role in the rate of aging and in overall health?
Well, of course, It's a big role. I mean, there's a connection between the mind and body. I mean, probably everyone here would agree with that. But you don't even have to posit some kind of mystical connection. It's a hardcore biochemical connection. Higher stress, more adrenaline production steers hormone metabolism the wrong way. There are good estrogen metabolites called the 2-methoxyestradiol. And this, when there's a lot of stress and adrenaline production, this is not produced because the enzyme like catechol-O-methyltransferase, that facilitates this reaction is used in combating the excess adrenaline. And so this is just one example of how the mind and body are connected, and hormones work better with the right lifestyle, with stress reduction. And it's all part of one system. You don't have to separate them.
No. No, it's a, as you mentioned before, it's a symphony.
Yeah.
So in the time that remains, Dr. Rothenberg, we spoke earlier, and you mentioned that you've just returned from a conference in Mexico City.
Yes.
And at that conference, they presented some data with regard to the impact of cell phones and other high-frequency technology on human health. What new information is out there, and what implications does this have on our health?
Well, I mean, it's not good. We saw a lot of thermography of brains with cell phone held, you know, to the ear, and the depth of penetration of this high-frequency radio-frequency field, especially in children with thinner skulls and, you know, smaller heads, where it gets through the entire brain. And so this really may be a future epidemic of, you know, brain tumors. And, you know, that's been made light of. But as the time goes on, it looks like there's more and more scientific data that this is something dangerous, not only the cell phones, but the cell phone towers that certainly, whether you use a cell phone or not, you can't escape from. So this is a real threat, unfortunately.
We know that the third largest lobby in the United States in Washington, D.C. is the cell phone lobby. And we also know that that it takes sometimes 20 years or 30 years or even longer for these tumors to become manifest.
Right. What's the pulsed electromagnetic field connection to this? Can this ameliorate these high frequency, the radio frequency damage?
Well, that would require a long-term study, a longitudinal study that, of course, hasn't been launched at this point. But at the same time, we need to be operating on hunches as well before the data is available that says that the way to combat bad energy is with good energy. You know, if you've got a hormonal deficiency or a hormonal problem in the body, the way to counteract it is with hormone therapy, in this case, bioidentical hormones. As a chiropractor, we treat mechanical syndromes of the body, back pain, with mechanical therapy. And so in the case of energy syndromes in the body where the energetics of the brain, for example, or of the tissues is out of sync, it's electron transfer and electron flow in the body that's markedly disrupted by these high-frequency man-made fields. And so bringing cells back into a natural low-frequency resonance, which is what the Earth's magnetic field tends to do, is essential. One of the neat things that I've learned just from Dr. Blank, even up in British Columbia, is that the Earth's field is a DC magnetic field, meaning that it is not electromagnetic, it is magnetic. And one of the exciting things about the MRS-2000 as opposed to other technologies out there is that the MRS-2000 converts AC current to DC current at the wall before that electricity ever gets into the control unit, so that what the type of electricity that enters into the coils, the copper coils that generate the magnetic field in the MRS-2000, is actually an exact match of the Earth's magnetic field.
Great. You know, like, as you said, we can't wait for the double-blind controlled study for everything, or we'll be sitting here for the next 100 years not doing anything. We've got to take our best shot at the available information there, and especially if it's something that does no harm, first rule in medicine, and use it and let the studies evolve, but take our best shot now.
That's true. If that would have been the case, we wouldn't have started using aspirin until 25 years ago.
Right.
But they've been using it for centuries. And so our feeling is that because this is such a rapidly proliferating problem, that is electrosmog and dirty electricity and the proliferation of man-made fields, we need to act now and act in a way that has safety. And we know that the frequencies and intensities of the field that we're using with the MRS-2000 are within that safe zone and actually do produce cellular resonance. We've got we got at least three or four exciting studies that we've got to get going on, don't we?
Oh, definitely. Exciting.
So I guess the last question that I have, are there any other potentials that you see for patients as you look forward to, I mean, you've learned about the MRS-2000. You said, hey, let's go ahead and adopt this technology and let's just see what it can do for people. What other areas, from your experience, would you see wanting to employ this technology in to test it with regard to your patient population?
Fibromyalgia syndromes. That's a very common problem in today's society for, you know, chronic pain. Traditional medicine doesn't have much to offer this type of thing. Can we impact that? What about just athletic performance? You know, as us 60-something-year-old surfers like myself, you know, we want to catch more waves than those young guys. And is it going to help our paddling? Is it going to help pull up the board? I'm not a golfer, but I know quality of life in golfers is measured by their golf score or how far their driving range is. Let's see what the effects are on athletic performance.
Absolutely.
And on mood and depression. I mean, any non-drug treatment that we can offer our patients, help get them off antidepressants. I mean, help get them off antihypertensives. Let's blood pressure, that can be a very objective study. It's been looked at somewhat, but it's something I'd like to continue to explore. So quality of life in terms of athletic performance. We mentioned sexual function, depression, energy, sleep, you know, and a bad hair day would be something else I'd want to research.
Exactly. How do you get a good hair day out of using energy medicine?
Well, my motto is any hair day is a good hair day.
If you have hair, it's a good hair day. So depression, for example, we know about the metabolism of beta endorphins being enhanced by exposure to the Earth's magnetic field, and we also know from zero field studies that endorphin levels drop precipitously by the absence of exposure to the Earth's field. This would be someone who's living, for example, in a high rise. They're living on the 20th floor. Maybe they drive their car on concrete and in their metal car, and they go to work and they work on the 12th floor or the 30th floor of a building. When are they out in the field? When are they getting enough of this Earth magnetic field? And so a natural consequence of that is plummeting levels of endorphin.
Interesting. Huh.
And what would you use to measure endorphin in a study if we were to do that?
You can measure beta endorphin. You can measure endorphin metabolites, I mean, in serum. I mean, you know, brain biopsy would be a good way, but I think that's a little invasive.
It commits the patient too much, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. But I think we can measure serum levels or clinical scales on pain scales. I mean, there's a lot of it's qualitative, but a lot of measurement scales, especially from the you know, pain literature, that can be used.
Okay, all right. We've got another couple of questions, and then we're definitely out of time. I want to thank you guys for being in the guest faculty this evening, but people are asking.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a joy.
It just flies by. Every time we do this, it just flies by, and I learn so much. And I've got, you know, four or five pages of notes here already. But Bonnie from San Francisco says, hey, Bonnie wants to know, do you have an MD recommendation in San Francisco, or should she just catch the puddle jumper right on down to San Diego?
Either way, but yeah, we can give a recommendation to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, Bonnie, if you if you're still listening, if you wouldn't mind sending me your email address through the questionnaire form, I will forward that on to Kathleen, and we'll get you settled with someone there in San Francisco. And then also, there's a question of whether or not Kathleen, you need other people to bring some MRS-2000s to the symposium we're having February 2nd.
If people want to bring them, that's certainly fine, and we have probably six right now.
Okay, there could be 140 people at least, maybe 200 by the time the event rolls around. I'd say, you know, thumbs up. Anybody wants to bring one, it would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm looking through any other questions here for you guys, and I think we're good to go. So I will thank you guys one more time for being on the teleclass this evening. It's again been a huge honor to have world-renowned and world-class healthcare providers who are willing to be part of this class. And just thank you very much. It's been great.
Hey, you're welcome.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Thanks much. For those of you who are still on, I will be taking some other questions here with regard to use of the MRS-2000. Thanks again to Kathleen Becker and Dr. Ron Rosenberg of the California Health Span Institute. They do anti-aging medicine, and quite frankly, they've just gotten started now with the use of the MRS-2000, and there's some exciting potentials, as you can see, with regard to the use. This this clinic is on the campus of Scripps Medical Center, and it's a world-famous center in San Diego, California. Look forward to being there. So let's answer some questions here with regard to MRS-2000. Nancy from Harrow, Ontario, asks this. She says, is there evidence that the use of the MRS-2000 can significantly help ALS, that's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, victims? If so, what is the protocol, please, and would it be using solely the mat, or would there be any benefit to using the pad and the probe as well? Well, ultimately, the terminal event in someone with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is a full suppression of the respiratory mechanism. It involves plaquing and paralysis of the, I think, the ventral horn of the spinal cord, and ultimately, it's a progressive disease that ends in of course, premature death. Nancy, we can actually help to enhance the flow and exchange of oxygen by the lungs by enhancing the availability of oxygen through every red blood cell. We know that through studies, dark field microscopy studies of the MRS-2000, and so it can improve quality of life. In terms of improving prognosis or length of life, that would be something that I would have to explore a little bit further and get back to you. I think in that case, it would involve the MRS-2000 as well as a combination of certain key nutrients that can improve oxygenation. Certainly, sublingual NADH, germanium sesquioxide, some things like that can enhance oxygen availability and metabolism. But you can certainly email me, Nancy, at let me give you the eMedicine the email there. It's info, that's I-N-F-O, at emedicineu.com. So again, we can enhance, we believe, the quality of life in ALS patients, perhaps improve their oxygen flow and exchange, and that's a big deal for people. Also, Nancy, you've asked if the MRS-2000 is contraindicated in smokers. Would there be any problem with a smoker using the pad or probe for extreme shoulder pain? Absolutely not. There's no contraindication. There's every indication that someone who is a smoker needs the MRS-2000 as much or more as anybody else, and use the mat application, use the pad applicator for extreme shoulder pain. But here's the physician in me coming out. Nancy, you've got to find out what the cause of that extreme shoulder pain is. Is it a coronary ischemia, that is deprived oxygen to the heart? Is it a shoulder problem? Is it an orthopedic problem? Is it a myofascial problem? Someone with a severe or extreme shoulder pain should have an accurate diagnosis. In any case, the MRS-2000 will be quite helpful, I believe, in helping to mitigate that pain, particularly in cases where it's a musculoskeletal cause or an ischemic problem. Then my friend Alfred from Waterloo. Good evening, Alfred. Thanks for being on the call. If after using MRS mat for 2 years, the improvement stalls, is it okay to go to a higher intensity, such as 100? I was using the mat at 50 for 8 minutes in the morning, 25 in the afternoon for 8 minutes. Definitely, Alfred, there's no right or wrong setting. So you can feel free to play around with those settings. You might want to try 100 for 8 minutes. You might also want to try a cascading strategy where you start at perhaps 10 for 8, 25 for 8, 50 for 8, and see what that does for you. The cascading strategy is just one more way to use the MRS-2000 to make it work. Again, Alfred, you mentioned this question. A client had a fall with a head injury and a concussion with brief loss of memory for about 10 seconds, or I think you mean loss of consciousness for 10 seconds, presenting symptoms with right sore shoulder, sensations into the right hand. In view of possible inflammation, can we use the MRS-2000? The answer is yes. Key for us is using the whole body mat applicator at a low setting, sensitive at first, and then gradually increasing from there. And then also, anytime we have a head injury, we've had the good fortune of having Ted Neff on our call, and he specializes in head injuries, and he has researched and recommended the use of the probe applicator directly over the carotid artery on the front of the neck on both sides using an intensity setting of 200. So if there's a head injury with possible concussion, the probe applicator following the use of the whole body mat applicator. Again, a setting of 200 seems to work well in helping to enhance oxygen flow to the brain. And then finally, I believe, Al, you mentioned this. You say that if the mat causes body cells to resonate, how exactly are the cells affected by the pad and the probe? The answer is that we're just using a different waveform. The sawtooth waveform is inducing cellular resonance, and we're using amplitudes and frequencies that are generally in line with the frequencies and amplitudes of the Earth's magnetic field, and we're signaling all 75 trillion cells at the same time using a pulse frequency that varies based on the time of day. Alfred, that program setting that we use between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. or between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., 3 to 8, and then 8 to 5, those are all specially designed and engineered to reach into the body and signal the cells to resonate in harmony using the Chinese organ clock or science that's derived from the Chinese organ clock. So the pad and the probe don't use those programs at all. And the pad and the probe are often used at significantly higher settings, such as 100, 150, 200, or if you have a medical device, the 400 setting. The probe applicator, of course, will increase the amplitude to an average peak intensity of up to 70 microtesla, and that's, of course, different than the mat's effects also. The mat goes to an average peak intensity of 45 microtesla. So there are differences. The pad and the probe are used for pulsating magnetic field therapy. The whole body mat applicator is used primarily for magnetic resonance to get all the cells to vibrate in this beautiful symphony of resonance. So I hope that answers the question. Deborah, let's see. What do you think of eating 100%? This is from Cambridge, Ontario. Deborah, what do you think of eating 100% raw living food, using this diet as the only way to reverse a disease? So do I think that eating a 100% raw living food diet is the only way to reverse or cure a disease? Deborah says, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis 6 years ago, declined the drugs, and regained my life. However, I'm still not 100% healed. What do you suggest? Well, Deborah, I would congratulate you on whatever nutritional changes that you made. Obviously, the nutrition that you're eating is anti-inflammatory. And since our understanding of rheumatoid arthritis is that it is an autoimmune disease, going off what Dr. Rothenberg said today about the gut and the immune system and dysbiosis of the gut helping to give rise to autoimmune disease in the first place, I would say one of the best things you could do would be to clean up your gut and make sure that your bowel function is working correctly. Some people, for example, believe that if they're constipated, all they need to do is, for example, take fiber in order to not be constipated anymore without ever looking at the cause of constipation in the first place. That means that if you're listening right now and you are suffering with constipation and you do take fiber on a daily basis to help remediate that problem, when you stop taking the fiber, the constipation will still be there, meaning you haven't really fixed it. And so we need to dig a little bit deeper, folks. We need to ask ourselves what's going on. So, Deborah, in your case, I'd say clean up the gut. one of the really finest ways to do that in conjunction with a good diet and some adequate nutritional supplements in that regard would be to use the MRS-2000, the matte applicator first, followed by the pad applicator. You've got a chronic illness for 6 years, so I'm recommending the pad applicator for 16 minutes, two or three times a day, to the abdomen. Kind of just right out of the box, it'll help the kidneys detox, it'll help the liver detox, and it'll also help the immune system of the gut. And that may produce some nice changes if you haven't been using the MRS-2000 that way. Candace, welcome from Charlotte. Candace asks, are there any hepatitis C studies? And then with regard to the MAT, the answer, Candace, is no. There are no studies with regard to the MRS-2000 and hepatitis C. Let me do a quick literature search
while we're here on Hep C and see if there's any literature at all. And the answer is hepatitis C, particularly. I'll just do hepatitis in general. Hepatitis C, no. We've got two studies, one in, from 1995. It's a foreign, in fact, both of these are foreign, one from 1995, one from 1991. And they're saying that 69% of patients derive benefit from using magnetotherapy as part of a treatment with hepatitis A and B. That was 1995 by Kent and Krasnov in 1991. There is no abstract on that. So hopefully that answers your question. Unfortunately, there are no studies on Hep C. Then Barnabas. Hi, Barnabas. Greetings, my friend, from Monroe, North Carolina. How is the spinal cord stimulators affected by the MRS-2000? The answer is spinal cord stimulators are battery operated and need to be checked with regard to the manufacturer. Most spinal cord stimulators are entirely fine when you use the MRS-2000, but again, talking to the manufacturer and the engineer at the manufacturer's place to make sure that 70 microtesla amplitudes don't disrupt the technology is a good thing. In my experience, I've not had a problem, but also in my experience, I always check. And that's my recommendation for you, Barnabas. Thanks, and greetings from Denver. My friend Virgin from Freeport, Maine, you were asking Dr. Rothenberg if the frontal portion of the brain injured from sports injuries and toxic metals resulting in tremors to the fingers if that damage can be reversed and brain tissue healed, preventing disease such as Parkinson's syndrome, what would the protocol look like? Well, Dr. Rothenberg is no longer on the call, and I apologize for that, Regine. I read as much as I could and didn't catch this question. However, I do know that that Dr. Rothenberg talks about conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, in his book, and the powerful effects of that in helping to prevent the formation of tau proteins in the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. In terms of detoxing the brain and eliminating the presence of or the likelihood of developing Parkinson's, I think you're on the right track. I think heavy metal detoxification is key. And I know from experience in talking with you, Virgin, that you are kind of an expert on both measuring for toxic heavy metals and also helping to eliminate them from the body. From my experience with heavy metal detoxification, in this case, aluminum is highly implicated in cases of Parkinson's disease. We know that improving cell membrane charge is a key element in the detoxification process. And as I mentioned, while Dr. Rothenberg and Kathleen were on the phone with us, detoxification is an essential process that needs to be engaged with on a daily basis. And increasing cell membrane charge increases detoxification function of those cells. So his recommendation might include some other nutritional supplements as well. Mine would certainly include that, as well as using the MRS-2000 on a daily basis, particularly because of the detoxification enhancement. The whole body mat applicator used at a low setting, at sensitive 10 or 25, and then sensitive and 10 in the evening. Okay, looking through and refreshing your questions. You guys have been great. I appreciate you being on the call this evening. I'm looking for more questions that haven't been answered. Homocysteine levels and greetings to all my friends in Florida. Thanks for listening. Okay, Patricia in Toronto says, I've recently heard that having cactus plants in the home can help against cell phone electromagnetic radiation, I think because they absorb them. What have you heard about any of this? And Patricia, I've heard nothing. I can tell you, okay, so I've heard nothing, and that's my answer. And I apologize for that, but I'm going to make a note to myself to research cactus plants and EMFs. There is a study now out of University of South Florida that just came out, I think in the last 30 to 60 days, that indicated that mice, certain species of mice that had brain cancer, who were exposed to the cell phone every day, field mice or small mice that were exposed to the cell phone every day, it actually protected them from developing brain cancer. Now, my question to everyone listening on this call would be, if you chase the money trail on that one, where do you suppose it'll wind up? Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but actually a study that actually comes out and says the use of cell phones is cancer protective in mice, that would be interesting. I'd like to know the species of mice that was used and what are the attributes of that species of mouse. Until it passes muster on that question, I'm certainly not going to accept the conclusions of that article. So, Bonnie, thank you very much for sending your email. I'm going to write that down, and I will pass that along to Kathleen to get some physician help in the San Francisco area. Okay. And then, Sharon, the name of the manufacturer of the MRS-2000 is simply MediConsult. That's MediConsult, MediConsult. And the main website there is www.mediconsult.tv. That's the main website for the manufacturer of the MRS-2000. Okay, Jackie wanted to know the amount of vitamin D3 suggested earlier. Well, I don't want to be wrong, and so Jackie, I'm going to email that, and I will actually include that in an email to everybody who's on the call tonight who receives emails from eMedicineU. So the dosage of vitamin D3. Again, this is the year of vitamin D3, I think. The year of vitamin D started in 2009. It's the most popular vitamin being prescribed for just about everything. It helps so many things in the body. And apparently with D3, you do not need exposure to the sun. Judy from Aurora, Ontario asks, could you please tell me the protocol for vitiligo with the Skin Dream machine? I know you talked about this one on a previous teleclass, but I lost the information. Judy, with regard to the Skin Dream, you're going to want to energize those cells slowly and progressively. You're going to want to use you start with regional exposure using 1 minute or 2 minutes at a time using the Skin Dream, and make sure that you have used enough of the conduction gel there to help activate the subcutaneous layers of skin. As far as further benefit on that, Judy, I'm going to refer you to Ali Ox, who's at our Canadian headquarters, and to have her go in some detail, since Ali loves this machine, uses it every day. I unfortunately haven't had clinical experience with vitiligo in patients using the Skin Dream machine. So, Judy, I'm gonna do that. If you wouldn't mind sending your email as well to me at info@emedicineu.com, I will connect you up with Allie. Okay? Then, Jackie from Parker. Hi, Jackie. Hope you're still on, and I appreciate you being here. You have a client who has an aneurysm that burst in her brain, so she's had a stroke. She's finally home and going through physical therapy. What is the best protocol for her to use the MRS 2000? For any stroke victim, whether it's aneurysm or from a blood clot of sorts, the best protocol is a cascading one using the MRS 2000 at sensitive for 8 minutes, then 10 for 8 minutes, then 25 for 8 minutes, and doing that protocol 3 times a day. That would be the place to start with any stroke victim. Mary from Kitchener asks, can the probe be used over a cancer tumor in the breast? What should the intensity be? The answer I have, Mary, would be to not use the probe over a breast tumor, but rather to use the whole body mat applicator and use the mat applicator as we've just discussed regarding Jackie's client. Use it on a regular basis to charge all the cells. Having great cellular charge with all the cells is going to be more beneficial than actually using the probe over a local tumor. Donis from Knoxville, Tennessee, can you charge water with the MRS 2000? Maybe put the water on the pad. What setting and for how long would you do it? Again, this is a common question that we have. Charging water, the question is whether or not you can actually alkalize water by putting it on the MRS 2000. The answer is no. The magnetic field of the MRS 2000 does interact with the water molecule. It can cause the paramagnetic properties of the water molecule to be activated, and so it really is a good thing to put a glass bottle of water that's sealed rather than plastic. I don't like plastic because of the estrogen mimics in the plastic can leach into your water. So using a glass resealable bottle, you can charge the water for 8 minutes. That's plenty. You can do that at any frequency or any amplitude, but I would recommend using that if you're doing the water alone. You can use 100, 200, 400. But an efficient way to do it would be to have the water bottle on the whole body mat applicator while you're using it as well. And so whatever setting you're using, the MRS 2000, you can charge water while you're on it. Sharon from Charlotte asks, hi, how does the SoundLight Relax system work in conjunction with the MRS 2000, especially with regard to depression? Sharon, it's a great question. The MRS 2000 actually helps to increase beta endorphin production, which helps to lighten the mood and eliminate depression. The SoundLight Relax system uses sound frequencies and light frequencies to stimulate and entrain different brainwave forms for people with depression. So we're using frequencies, using magnetic frequencies. In the case of the MRS, we're using light and sound frequencies with the SoundLight Relax system. And they work in conjunction with one another very well. They complement one another. One way the SoundLight Relax system works is by enhancing sleep even further. Over and above the MRS 2000, people who use a delta wave, which would be program 4 from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., using that waveform with the SoundLight Relax system can take anybody who's still struggling with a little sleep issue to the next level. And increasing delta wave enhances sleep. If someone can get deep, restful sleep, of course, they get that release of human growth hormone that Dr. Rothenberg spoke about earlier. But they also, that hormone release can help mitigate against depression. So for a couple of reasons, you've got beta endorphin enhancement, you've got deep and restful sleep, and all of these things can help elevate the mood and deal with depression, oftentimes without any other medication. So Deborah, let's see. Oh, Mary from Kitchener has a note to Deborah saying there's a lady in Kitchener who is doing just that kind of thing, that raw food diet with a diagnosis of cancer in her breast with much success. So Mary wants to know, Deborah, how she may contact you. I'm going to go ahead and say, Deborah, feel free to forward your email address to info@emedicineu.com. Mary, forward your email address to info@emedicineu.com. and I will get you guys together so that you can talk about the nutritional portion of that discussion, the raw foods, which is interesting to me. And so I'd love to be copied in on that discussion as well. So Mary and Deborah. All right, refreshing one more time. I appreciate your questions. And let's see. Oh, there we go. I appreciate this from our faithful president. This is from Wolfgang Jaksch in Florida. He actually found a literature reference with regard to hepatitis from an earlier question on hepatitis C. In Soviet Medicine, 1978, the title of the article, Experience with the Use of Glucocorticosteroids and Magnetic Fields in the Intensive Therapy of Severe Forms of Viral Hepatitis. Again, Soviet Medicine, Volume 9, 1978, page 72 through 74. And the author's name is Ilinsky. And I think I pronounced that perfectly, don't you? Well, Wolfie, thank you very much for providing that reference. You've got a great database going there, and I appreciate that. I'm wondering if the abstract would be in English or in Russian. If in Russian, of course, I know that you could translate that for us, or that that Google Translate could do that for us. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening this evening. It's been a great evening. Thanks for coming to the class tonight. This will be available for download via MP3 to your computer. You can listen to this. You can invite your friends to listen to this. You could even put it on your iPod, transferring it over there. You can you have our permission to make a CD out of this and share this or portions of this call with friends. Thank you guys for joining us on Energy Medicine Unlimited tonight. We look forward to seeing you again next month. Blessings to everyone. Have a great evening and good night.